There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares about a final visit from his grandfather and why he cannot tell his family. It was a dark and stormy night when something pretends to be a scared little boy. A listener becomes terrified as she watches her roommate wake from a dead sleep and speak in a different language. And after becoming terrified of her apartment, a woman has a cleansing performed and learns more than she bargained for about her apartment. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi. I know the title of the episode is Dark and Stormy Night, but in my mind, I had I wouldn't say it's bad, but it's a classic adult contemporary song of, I don't know, I'm going to guess the 70s. Not, I think it's Starry, Starry Night.
Yeah.
Starry Night.
I was thinking of that when I made the title.
Who sings that?
I have no idea. But I was thinking Dark and Stormy Night.
Yeah. I believe it's called Starry, Starry Night, right?
I think so.
I'm going to look that up. Somebody's screaming on the radio right now going, "It's this, it's this."
Yeah, because we really don't know.
It's a Don McLean song. Or Don McLean. I said McLean. I don't know. I always said McLean.
I know it's McLean. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was unaware that was him.
Huh.
There you go. If there wasn't laws against playing the song, I would stop everything right now. We would do a little karaoke session to Don McLean. It would be a wonderful, wonderful time.
Is that what it's called?
Starry, Starry Night.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember Vincent Starry, Starry Night. It's called Vincent, and then in parentheses, Starry, Starry Night. I don't know. Maybe it's about someone named Vincent. I don't know the story.
Vincent Van Gogh painted the painting Starry Night.
I was just called it Starry, Starry Night when we were on the air, but there you go. I wish I would have known that. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can always write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Interact with us on social media everywhere. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, Snapchat at Ghost Podcast, and Facebook. Just look up Real Ghost Stories Online. You will find us. What do you got here?
Oh, that's it. That's Starry Night.
So it was based on the Vincent Van Gogh painting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like you're looking at a night sky with cataracts.
Sure. That's interesting. It's funny. Don McLean, very obviously extremely talented artist, and one that I think, unless you're really into a lot of, I guess he'd be in the classic rock category, or lived through the era, all anyone ever knows him for is the American Pie.
Yeah.
But very, very, deep artist. Lots of music behind that man, not just American Pie.
But that's what happens when you make such an iconic song that people still ponder to this day the meaning of most of the lyrics.
And then no matter what else you do for the rest of your life, you're just... It's like being famous. It's like being Tony Soprano. or anyone who is in an iconic role, anything else they're ever in, it's like, oh, that's
James Gandolfini.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
It's like you just call him Tony Soprano.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's, yeah. it's that's the role you played, and it was such a huge role. That's what you're going to be known for, no matter what. I mean, even a lot of the other, you know, a little more current. I know Sopranos is early 2000s and 90s. Bryan Cranston.
He will always be Walter White.
No matter what you see him in. If you watch Breaking Bad, that's, you know, no matter how, and he's an incredible actor. No matter how much they make him look different still, it's like, oh, Walter White is dressed up as an ex-president today. And just waiting for him to suddenly break character and start talking to Jesse Pinkman. Let's go to our first story today. It comes into us from Anonymous. Says, hey, been listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and for my age, I find ghost stories interesting and exciting, even though I'm very young. This isn't really a ghost story, but it's something I find incredible that happened to me. This past November, my grandfather fell and broke his leg, and he went to the hospital and had surgery on it. Later after surgery, he got pneumonia while still in the hospital and had to stay there. On December 15th, we went to the hospital to visit him and my grandmother and my grandfather. We were there in the hospital room for a good hour or two. My grandfather was asleep, but we were talking to my grandmother and chatting with her. Later, my parents decided it was time that we all left because we had exams the next day. We stopped at a restaurant and went home afterwards. That night, we got home pretty late and we were all tired, so we went to bed almost immediately. That night, I had a dream. My grandfather was in it. He came to me in the dream and was talking to me about what was going on. He wanted to thank me for coming to visit him and my grandmother in the hospital. I obviously didn't know this was a dream at the time, so I didn't think much during the dream. We talked for a while, and he told me he had to go now and that everything was going to be okay. Next morning, I woke up, and my sister and my brothers were eating breakfast in the kitchen. My parents came in and got us all to be quiet, and they told us that my grandfather had called at about 3 that morning, or my grandmother had called at about 3 that morning, that my grandfather had passed away. We were all sad, and immediately I thought of the dream that I had the night before. I still haven't told anyone else in my family because I didn't want to bring even more sadness, or sadness in general, into the conversation. Or that my dad might get confused at why he didn't visit him instead of me, since he was his son. I've had other experiences like this in the past, like with my grandmother, same side of the family, before she had passed away in about 2008. I had had a dream that we were in her house, and in that dream she was in her room, sitting in her rocking chair, talking to me and my grandmother, her daughter. I don't remember exactly what she said to us because this was so long ago, but the next day, that night, we found out that she had passed away, and we were with my grandmother at her house and went back to my great-grandmother's room, and the rocking chair was rocking back and forth. Then it stopped when I stepped a few feet into the room. I don't know if my grandmother had the same dream about her talking to us, but I do remember the conversation being sad. Thank you for reading my story. I hope you liked it. Keep up the good work with the podcast. I love listening to it daily. And maybe someone else has had the same experience as me.
And that is why we do this, so that when you can't tell your family because you're afraid they're going to be upset that they didn't get the last visit, you know, this is your safe place to tell that.
Although I do have to wonder if, like, everyone in the family had that last visit in the dream and they're all like, I don't want to tell anybody because what if I'm the only one who...
And we hear that quite a bit where people check their story out with others and come to find out grandpa or uncle or whoever has come and visited everybody. And it's sad because you can't share that, or you think you can't share that, you know, but I totally respect not wanting to upset, you know, the parent there that's, you know, the child of the one that died.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. It just makes me wonder if maybe be like, really? Because I had a dream too, or I had a visitation or whatnot. And you may surprise yourself. And you may surprise yourself in the other aspect of things too. Now that some time has gone by, it may be okay to share this. You know, the wound's a little bit less fresh, and it can be maybe just said out loud of, I had this experience. And it may actually be a comforting thing and a happy thing for the parent to hear that, oh, Well, it's interesting. And explain it just as you explained it in the story, timeline being very important on this, obviously. Sure. And it may be a very happy, comforting thing to hear. I understand, though, immediately after, not being like, well, guess what? They just died and you're talking over the Cheerios. Well, I talked to him last night in the dream. Mm-hmm. Might not be the exact moment to jump on the subject. But now, what do you think?
I think so. I think once some time's passed, it makes all wounds a little less fresh. And
sure.
I think that would be a good thing, especially since, you know, this happened to you. It probably did happen to somebody else.
Yeah.
But he knows his family. He knows whether or not they'd be open to that.
Yeah, that's true. It's more of a judgment call within the realms of how your family operates, if it would be appropriate or not. 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like what we got going on here, please consider keeping us on the air, becoming an EPP extra podcast person. That's our website at ghostpodcast.com. You get all of the bonus episodes of our program, the stuff that's fallen off iTunes, video content, and a lot more. So if you like this, please consider doing that. $5 a month is all we ask. Christine writes in, I haven't told my family members or friends about this following experience. It's been nearly a decade since it first happened, but I still distinctly recall my fear and sleepless nights caused by a cloaked black mass that invaded my sleep. During middle school, my family moved from San Francisco, California to San Laredo, California. For the first time ever, I had a spacious room all to myself. I absolutely loved it, but I started hating it for a particular reason. My first year living in our San Laredo home was uneventful. However, over the next 6 years, I started having these terrible reoccurring dreams. In one dream, my room turned into a graveyard with tombstones, creepy-looking stone angels, and thick gray mist. In this dream, the stone cherubs had red, glowing eyes, which I tried to avoid staring into. However, if I ever looked into them, I would wake up suddenly, full of fear and dread. I never saw anything in the room with me. Upon waking in another more frequent dream, I was pinned to my bed by a cloaked black mass that had no face. The black mass hovered over me silently before diving down and sitting on my chest and throat, which I physically felt as an immense squeezing pressure. I gasped for air and flailed my limbs around, but I never made contact with anything solid. Sometimes I'd be able to slither from under the dark mass and would crawl down the hallway to my parents' room. The black mass followed me, pulling at my ankles. If I was unsuccessful in reaching and opening my parents' bedroom door, I'd wake up, back in my bed, with the black mass looming over me and waiting to suffocate me again. If I was successful, I'd really wake up from the dream, heart racing and gasping for air. Some nights I was so scared of experiencing the dream over and over again that I'd wake up my parents and ask to sleep between them. The black mass never attacked me in my dreams when I slept in my parents' bedroom. My parents decided to do some construction on the home by changing their bedroom into a tinier room in a new hallway. I moved into the smaller room and they moved into my former room. In my new room, I did not experience the same dream with the black cloaked mass. Instead of suffocating me, the dark mass just watched me silently at the foot of my bed, which was still menacing and frightening. Around this time, I noticed that my parents started fighting more often and their relationship was turning for the worst. My dad became more of a recluse, refusing to interact with the family and withdrawing into himself. I don't know if he experienced dreams like I did, but I do know that I stopped dreaming about the black mass the longer I slept in my new room. My parents' relationship kept crumbling the longer we lived in that home. We eventually moved to a new home in a different city, and they patched things up. I sometimes dream of the black mass these days, but it does not attack me. It watches me silently at the foot of my bed. I try to ignore it, and it eventually goes away, and I dream about something else. This could all just be the result of my overactive imagination, but it has stuck with me throughout the years, so I feel it is worth mentioning. I became an EPP shortly after discovering RGSO on Spotify. I listen to RGSO and EPP episodes during my long commutes to work and sometimes before going to sleep. Bad idea, by the way, they say. Thank you so much for providing this unique service. Keep up the good work.
I would love to know what happened to the parents in their new room that used to be that room.
Mm-hmm.
And once they moved, things got patched up. It's just probably something preyed upon them while they were in that room and just constant irritation, you know?
That was that ghost's happy space. Because it was a room that they could prey on whoever was in there.
Yeah.
At that moment in time. I do wonder about, because she says, you know, that there's still the dream that happens where it's just watching, watching them. I wonder how much of, if that, that is just a dream as a result of having the traumatic experience.
Sure.
Where it's not necessarily that it's still following you, but it's the idea, the memory of it.
You're having nightmares about it.
Yeah, exactly. Just as any traumatic experience, whether it's ghostly or not, you're still going to have recollections of it and probably some haunting dreams of the sort where, and it's not to discount that something happened in that room when you were in that room, but then beyond it, it was more so just the trauma that the psychology of it was still chasing you. I wonder if that's more so the after effect and not so much still truly being haunted other than just being haunted by the memory.
Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing your experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jack writes in, this story happened to my ex-girlfriend, but I was on the phone with her while it happened. I dated a really awesome girl with two kids a few years back, and eventually we decided to move in together. Nothing ever happened in her home, although we are both open-minded people about the paranormal. I never had any experiences, but I'm not sure if she ever did, since we never really discussed that sort of thing. Anyway, one week I was traveling for business and was about 800 miles from where we lived together. I called her that night to say goodnight, and she informed me that the power went out from severe storms. She put both of her kids to bed early. She was also lying in bed reading by candlelight until I called her. We were joking for a while about how afraid she was of storms, which occur pretty frequently in the Midwest during warmer months, as I'm sure you and Jenny can relate to. Her youngest boy, I'll call him Jimmy, was terrified of storms. Her older son slept through everything. We were joking about how Jimmy would probably come crawl in to bed with her, as the thunder and lightning were pretty wild from the sounds of it. She and I spoke for a while about other things and finally said, well, here comes Jimmy. I can hear him hopping out of bed and coming down the hallway. We laughed for a few seconds and she said she saw his little silhouette standing in the bedroom doorway, only lit by lightning. She said, come on in, Jimmy. You can come snuggle. I'll keep you safe. He just stood there. We joked a few seconds, but she observed that it looked like Jimmy changed his pajamas and they were not what she dressed him in that evening. She described what he currently had on as an oversized t-shirt, and again she said, Jimmy, come on in. He just stood there. We joked that maybe he was sleepwalking and had no idea what he was doing. So she crawled to the edge of her bed and said, Jimmy, come in. She did that. She said he got down on all fours and crawled extremely fast and disappeared under a hope chest she had at the foot of her bed. I didn't find this out till afterwards, though. All of a sudden she got quiet and I heard her jump out of bed and rush down the hall. Her son was sleeping soundly in his bed, and her other son was further down the hall, sound asleep. She woke both kids up, grabbed her keys and purse, and left. I heard her crying and really upset, and I kept asking, what's wrong? What's going on? And she drove to a hotel, checked in, and I was so perplexed with what the hell happened. She finally told me, her voice shaking and quivering. She stayed in the hotel for two more nights until I got back, not going to the house alone if she needed something. Neither one of us had any explanation for what she saw. The figure who looked like her son stood there for a good 5 minutes. And I know this because we were talking and joking the whole time. Doppelganger, demon, ghost caused by the energy of thunderstorms. What do you guys think? Love your show. And I'm an EPP.
The way it bent over and crawled off real fast is kind of creepy. Unless it's just like crawling like a scared kid diving under the bed. That's different. But I get the image
spider
of something crawling like a spider. Yeah.
So crawling with its back to the ground or stomach to the ground, you know, that's my question.
It scared her enough that she left the house with her kids for 2 days. So I'm thinking it was more on the not just doppelganger side.
Yeah, and judging by the fact that she didn't actually see the image or, you know, see the to identify it as the child, other than just a quick, you know, whoo, there goes the kid, or something the size of the kid, not wearing what he was supposed to be wearing. Probably not a doppelganger.
No.
I'm just thinking some sort of entity that was designed to freak her out.
Now, my other thought is maybe it wasn't crawling like a spider, and maybe it's actually a residual haunting of a different child that was scared of storms diving under mom and dad's bed.
Sure. And maybe not even have to be residual. Maybe it just is a conscious entity mm-hmm. that is still scared of storms and going to hide underneath the bed.
Yeah.
I would.
I can't imagine being alone and thinking that's your kid and then it's not.
Surprise.
Yeah.
You have a bonus child and it's a ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could ever like really go back to the house after seeing that.
No.
I think I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's good. It's been fun here. 855-853-4802 is our number. Lisa says, hi, guys. Been listening at work for about 2 months since finding you and have enjoyed it so much. You guys make my day go so much faster. Hope you sign up as an EPP when I get some other things taken care of, but just wanted to thank you all for what you do. Since listening, I began writing down all the paranormal things that have happened to me or my family and was surprised as how many there were. I've never counted before and have come up with several. It surprised me. I never thought of myself as sensitive or anything, but now I wonder. In any case, I thought of one instance I wanted to tell you guys about. I moved to Dallas from a small Ohio town several years ago. Upon moving here, I stayed with some friends that rented a house in an older neighborhood. I slept in a room that had two separate twin beds, not bunk beds, which I shared with a friend. She slept catty corner from me on the other side of the room, which is a fairly good size. Before I go on, let me tell you about my friend. She was about as Texan as you can get, very easygoing, with a drawl that no one could mistake as being nothing other than homegrown Texan. She was a smart gal, but not worldly or college educated, meaning that we were young and she hadn't studied or traveled anywhere, nor learned any other languages. A very simple sort of gal. One evening in the middle of the night, I was awoken by much stirring from the other side of the room where my friend slept. I opened my eyes and looked over to see her sit straight up in bed and looked at me with a very blank expression. She then started to speak very clearly. But that was coming. But what was coming out of her mouth sounded like Latin to me. I don't know Latin, but I've heard enough to make good guesses. This was not mumbling or someone half asleep. I swear that her eyes were open. She was staring right at me, and the words were loud and clear. This lasted for several long seconds, and just about the time that I was about to freak out, my friend started to shake. She shook her head back and forth, and in her own Texas drawl, I heard her say loudly and clearly, "No, no, you got the wrong one." It wasn't an angry comment, but more as if she were telling someone to move on. She then laid back down and calmly went back to sleep. By now, I was essentially frozen with fear, and all I could think of to do was pull the covers over my head. I was shaking, and it took me a long time to get back to sleep. The next day, I told my friend and our other roommates about this. I don't think they believed me, or they thought she was dreaming, but I know this was not the case. I'd love to hear your thoughts. To this day, I think that perhaps some passing spirit had something to say to someone, and maybe they picked the wrong time, place, or person. And my Texan friend just let them know who or whatever it was never came back again, or at least as far as I know.
I don't think it's just some wayward spirit that's going to stop in and take over a body and make it speak Latin.
Wrong one!
Yeah, I just kind of feel like maybe it's a little bit more than that.
Can the demon screw up? Can it get the wrong person and be like, oh, you're not this person I was trying to mess with?
No, I don't think so. I think they're pretty non-discriminative. What is the word? They aren't going to be picky when it comes to messing with people.
They're not going to discriminate against who they're...
Yeah.
They're just whoever they get, even if they happen to pick the wrong one.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll deal with you anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be one heck of a sleepover. If I would, you know... If only I had the mind I have now for screwing with people when I was a kid. That would be a great way to freak out kids at like a sleepover or something.
Jeez. We'd have people writing in about that.
I remember this time that Tony pretended he was possessed at a sleepover. I hated sleepovers. I just hated them.
Yeah.
I never could sleep. I was always uncomfortable. I hate sleeping on the floor. Usually if there was like a sleepover or something, I'd be like, I ask, can I stay till like 10 or something and then just get picked up and go home? Other than that, I never liked them.
Did you ever go camping as a kid?
No. I've I slept in a tent once in my backyard. Mm-hmm. It was a little A-frame tent. Could fit like two people in it. Uh-huh. Me and my dad slept in there one night as just to see what it was like to camp. But other than that, no, we never went camping. We never had a tent that functioned. I guess they had a tent, but it got damaged in a storm because they would go camping in their younger days. And I guess they were out somewhere and a storm came up and whipped it around and it was all bent up and they never bought another one.
But I love camping.
I've never camped. We own a tent and we've never even taken it out of the box.
It's a little bit more than a tent. You bought it for my birthday one year. Yeah. And it's basically a 3-room like pop-up condo.
Is it that big?
Yeah. It's got like a living room and it's got a 2 bedrooms. That it's a Coleman deluxe tent.
I mean, that's neat.
You did good when you got
it. It was a long
that.
Time ago I bought it. I forgot what it even looks
we've
like.
We never set it up. I don't know that we'll know how to set it up, but we can try.
I don't know. I'd be open to trying camping at some point.
It's like the girls have their own room and we'll have our own room and there's a space in between.
You bring like TVs and put some shiplap up in the
that's
tent.
That's not camping. That's glamping. That's glamorous camping.
I don't know. I would need, at the minimum, the air mattress.
I'm fine with that. I'm too old to lay right on the ground anymore, so. Yeah,
I've never been able to sleep on the ground.
I used to when I would go camping. I mean, we'd have the floor of the tent, so I didn't worry about things coming up and getting me, but I didn't have any padding other than my sleeping bag.
No, the padding, even as I was 8, it was like, I'd be sore for like a week if I slept on the ground, or I just wouldn't fall asleep. That was the worst is everybody's like getting up because you're at a sleepover. Kids get up early. Mm-hmm. It's like 6 a.m. And it's like, I finally fell asleep at 5:30 and it was like, all right, let's go make pancakes. Like, oh, Jesus, can I just go home? I hate this shit. I hate being with kids. I did.
I know.
I always just felt like I was older than I was. I never really related to kids.
We should go camping. There's places to go camping around here. Besides just
is there?
El Dorado Lake, you know?
There are places to camp.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't take this for a camping area. I'm kidding. We're like just in nature land.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Anna writes in, hello, I'm a new but very devoted listener. I have several stories, but the fact that you are in Kansas, well, probably now Missouri, makes my first one relevant. I should mention that I come from a long line of healers and have had paranormal experiences since I was a child. I never knew why until I got older when my grandma explained our family history. I think that because of this history, it makes me sensitive to paranormal activities. Several family members have mentioned similar experiences. Anyway, let's get to the fun stuff. I'm a prior active duty Marine and was stationed in Kansas a few years ago on recruiting duty. I began working in the Lenexa recruiting office located across the street from the mall. Prior to moving to Kansas, the only real exposure I had to this area was from a show called United States of Terror, which is based off of Overland Park, though not filmed there. Yet when I arrived at this area, I felt that it was familiar, somewhere I had visited before. I chose an apartment across the street from the mall and within walking distance of the recruiting station. I felt that the price for the place was a steal. It was twice the size of half the price of the apartment I had when I was in California. It was indoors, so you could hear people coming up and down the stairs, or if they were having a conversation on the first floor, it echoed. I lived on the 3rd floor. The apartment had 2 bedrooms, with the main bedroom down the hallway and visible from the front door. The kitchen had a wooden floor, and the wall in that room was covered in big mirrors. The living room had a sliding door with a balcony. It's important to list all of this because of the experiences I had in this place. First, prior to moving in here, my grandmother, the person that used to teach me to spiritually heal people, had passed away. We never messed with black magic, more working with sage and things like that. In addition to losing my grandmother, I lost my partner of several years. She left me for someone else, and this left me not wanting to sleep alone in the main bedroom. It took me 3 months to unpack, so I spent most of my time sleeping in the living room, on the air mattress, or on the couch. The main bedroom was avoided, not just for not wanting to sleep alone, but also because when I walked into that room, I immediately felt sad or the urge to cry. When I was in there and had the closet door open, I felt that someone was watching me. It was a full walk-in closet, and it always creeped me out. My first night staying in the apartment, I slept in the living room on the floor on the air mattress. I had the light on because I had always had a fear of the dark. As I began to doze off through my eyelids, I saw a pair of shoes and legs cross in between me and the light as if walking around the mattress, observing the situation. I opened my eyes, and no one was there. It left me a little freaked out, but I put it off to nerves and being in a new place and sleeping alone. A few weeks later, I was in the living room in between awake and falling asleep on the couch, and I heard a voice from the corner clearly say, "Hey." It wasn't a voice I recognized, and I thought maybe it was someone outside of my door, and it was pretty late at night, so I jumped up and opened the door and saw no one. You could hear people approach the door and walk around as you could hear doors echo as they opened in other apartments, so there's no way someone could have made it away from the door without me hearing them. Around October, I had a dream that my ex came back to the apartment. She seemed possessed. She had red eyes. She was stomping around the apartment, yelling at me that all I had to do was kill her parents. Ironically, she stomped the floor underneath me. It began to break, and I remember looking at the kitchen and seeing my reflection in the mirror as I began to slide out the door towards the balcony. I should mention that prior to her leaving, we had argued, and one of our arguments I had dreamt about at least 2 years prior because we were in the car at the exact location of my dream. I remember the store on my left was a Best Buy, and saying the exact same thing. I had deja vu a lot, and it seemed as if everywhere I go is where I'm supposed to be, at least if I want to meet spirits, good and bad. Anyway, around January, I began to date someone else. She would stay at the apartment and go to sleep in the living room with me. One night, I had been drinking, and when I got home, I fell asleep in the main bedroom. She slept between me and the closet, not having any information about why I didn't sleep in the room. The closet door was open that night. I rarely let this happen. And she said that she woke up because she felt someone was watching her and looked to the closet to see a man hanging from his neck. She said she couldn't wake me and just tried to fall asleep again and spent the night tossing and turning. About 4 months later, we were having an argument because I did not want to sleep in the apartment because I could feel that something was in there. By this time, I hadn't been sleeping much. I'd tried to reach out to a priest, but he refused to help. By this point, I was very anxious and irritated. So back to the argument, that night I wanted to leave and sleep somewhere else, and as we argued by the front door, the door to the closet in the back room slammed shut. Please note that this door was always closed because of my fear of what was in there. It's also important to note that I had an altar set up here with a candle, which was always supposed to be lit, but would go out on its own. I would buy different candles, and they would do the same. On this altar sat a picture of my grandmother and I, a rosary she had given me before she passed, and a picture of the Virgin Mary, which hung on the wall. There were times that the picture on the wall would sway or the picture of my grandma would fall over. If the candle stayed lit, it would be dim. That same night of the argument, my partner called her friend who came in to cleanse the apartment. We had previously saged, salted, and put holy water around the apartment, but the activity would only cease temporarily and seemed to come back stronger. After her friend did cleanse, the candle burned brighter, and the activity decreased. I would still get very sad walking into the room and felt as if there was a crime that had been committed there, as a murder of a family. It did not help that a specific piece of the carpet in the middle of the main room had been cut out and replaced, despite all the carpet being new. Finally, 2 months after moving out of this apartment and returning to California, the complex caught fire. 4 buildings caught fire, and right before the fire reached the part I lived in, the fire stopped. Not sure if this is related, just thought it was ironic. I know this was long, and I hope it makes sense, but maybe someone else has lived in the same place and can share experiences. I'll be writing again to share some experiences that I had as a kid. Thanks for the show. I love it, especially knowing that I am not alone.
The carpet is cut out in the middle of a room.
What's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, carpet's cheap in apartments and stuff, and I would just think that they would have just replaced it. The fact that they cut it out and didn't replace the whole thing isn't really a tell, other than it's just weird.
Was it cut out and then replaced with the same type of carpet, but you could tell it was like, you know, a replacement
newer
job? I can't imagine just like a big open space of carpet that was missing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was replaced, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think the cleansing probably is mm-hmm. the biggest tell there that, that something's going on, other than the fact that doors slam when they're in other parts of the place.
Sure. I'm going to guess there's probably two things at play. One being the fact that she was going through a very depressing time, not in a good state of mind, sad, and was probably somewhat preyed upon by whatever the hell was in that apartment, completely unrelated to her situation, but just the two happened to meet up at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's what affected her so greatly. And I think the two are unrelated, but they just kind of worked.
Yeah, I think so.
Creepy. You never know what you get in apartments.
Especially in Kansas.
Yeah. Well, anywhere, really.
Oh, I'm just saying Kansas because it made me think of your decapitation story.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun one. That's, I should probably expand upon that instead. It's like, yeah, on to the next story.
And the fact that you have a decapitation story.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, we've talked about this on the show probably a couple hundred episodes back. But the first apartment that I had moved into when we were living in Kansas, and when I moved to Kansas, I didn't know you yet. I had never seen the place. I looked it up online, and that's how I got it, because I needed a place to go to right away when I moved there. And the reviews and everything seemed nice. I looked, did a little bit of research. I didn't just, you know, Craigslist it and hope for the best. And it was like, it looked like a nice place. And it really was a decent complex.
It was probably one of the nicer complexes in town.
It was. So I did all my research, and the price was good. So I got it. And I go there, and I check in my first day, and they, you know, do the sign the stuff, get your keys and all that. And I ask, you know, it's, you know, tell me about the neighborhood a little bit. It, you know, it seems nice. Like, oh, yeah, it's no crime. Nothing ever happens around here. It's really peaceful and blah, 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 blah. So I go get my into my apartment. Then I need to go over to the store to pick up a washer and dryer and have it delivered. And when I get to the store to get the washer and dryer and they're filling out the paperwork for my address, they're like, you live there? Yeah. I do. And they just have this look of horror on their face. Like, what? And I don't think they ever found the head.
That's what they not tell. Something you should ever hear from anybody.
Like, you're filling out paperwork at the Best Buy, and I don't think they ever found the head, is what they tell you. Like, what? And a woman was decapitated in one of those apartments, and I don't think they ever found the head. I don't know that they ever have found the head to this day, honestly.
No, they haven't.
But it turned out it was not in my unit, but good luck finding out what unit it was. Eventually, I did by doing a lot of digging, and it was not mine. But I always questioned because there was, like, some stains on the carpet in different areas, and were kind of reddish. I'm like, what the hell? But it was a horrible thing. But it was like it was a domestic type. It wasn't a random, you know, Jack the Ripper or something like that.
It wasn't random.
Not that it makes it better, but at least you don't have the random, you know, beheader wandering around the complex for like
town.
Yeah. So that was that. It made me think a little differently every time I would go for my walk at night around the lake that was near there, because everyone always said, well, it's probably in the bottom of the lake.
And, you know, honestly, it's probably not, because I'm sure that's the very first place divers went and looked.
I think they drained it from what I understand, and they didn't find anything. So God knows where. Yeah. Anyway. That's my decapitation story, everyone. So I hope everyone sleeps tight if you're listening to us at night. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That was the first couple hours of being in.
Wichita loved to tell their crazy stories right off the bat. They flew their crazy flag for everybody to see. And I lived there for 25 years, so I'm sorry, Wichita listeners, if I'm offending you, but I did my time, and I'm out now, and I can talk about that shit.
It was really kind of stunning the first couple weeks or months, really, that I lived there, because I was working in radio, and everywhere when you're in radio, you go out to, they're called remote broadcasts, where you're at like a car dealership or insert event here, and then you meet a lot of people, and they're, oh, you're the new guy, yeah. And I shit you not, literally almost everywhere I went to for that first couple of weeks or months, it was met with some horrific story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, not like, oh, you're really going to like it. Right down the road's a great pizza place. It was like, oh, no. You know what? Somebody used to stand on top of that building with a sniper rifle and picked off a bunch of people. What?
Yeah.
And then you go to the next one, it's like, oh, you know that field right down there? Yeah, these brothers, the Carr brothers, they killed this whole group of, like, 20-somes.
No, four people. There were 20-somethings.
It was a group of 20-some. Yeah, four. Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, like, 20-some.
No, no, 20-some-year-olds. They just broke into their house one night and went and executed them in the field. One of them survived. Like, what? And then, like, everybody knew BTK.
Yeah.
That was another fun one of Wichita, was everybody had some sort of weird connection to BTK, and I shit you not.
I know.
It was every single person I talked to. It was like either they worked down the road, somebody had a connection. And the thing is, a lot of them seemed legitimate. Even the one you guys have seemed legitimate.
Yeah.
It wasn't always just like, well, it was my cousin's brother's friend's coworker. It was like they're
first,
in your
first or second hand at the most distant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not like, oh, you've got to go see this or you've got to go to. No, it's, did you hear about this?
It's just tragedies.
Or do you know about the tornado that tore up that town?
Yeah.
Or this town? Or have you ever heard of Greensburg?
Yeah.
There, you know, it's just.
It was a lot of tragic shit. Yeah. Eventually, I got to the point, because the first several weeks there, you know, I didn't know. I knew about BTK. That was big news. And they just had wrapped up, like, the previous year, the sentencing and all that. But the other stuff I'd never heard of, for the most part. And it was, eventually I got to the point where they said, you heard of this? Yep, I've heard of that. But it took a while, because there were so many horrible things.
You could have started making up horrible stories. It's like, yeah, but have you heard about this?
You started making,
yeah.
Starting new things.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, a lot of it I wish was, because towns have stories, towns have legends, I wish there were more of this was just like unconfirmed. You hear about, yeah, that's a legend. No, a lot of it's fairly well documented.
It's all documented truth.
It's like, jeez. Yeah. Fun place. Next letter says, hi, I'm from England and rarely encounter any paranormal activity. Well, at least didn't until the story I'm about to tell you. My mom is quite sensitive and has encountered things before. My brother and my dad are complete skeptics. So my story starts, and we had just moved into our current family home. Bit of backstory. This house is over 100 years old, and we are the longest tenants. Everyone else has moved after 1 year, or max three. We've been there nearly 20 years. I was around 9 years old. It was 1999 when we moved. The house had no odd feelings, no cold patches, nothing to suggest paranormal activity. It was a friendly place to be. Our first New Year's was a millennium, and this is when the hauntings, if you will, began. At midnight, myself, my mom, dad, and two of their friends were in the studio, which is at the back of the house. We heard the front door swing open and smack against the wall. Very distinctive noise, a heavy wooden door, which has to be shoved to open with a heavy brass door knocker, and someone run up the stairs into my room and slammed the door. My mom ran out and up the stairs thinking it was my brother. The front door was locked and no one else was upstairs. From this, we ignored it, putting it down to fireworks, and the parents put it down to them all having a few champagnes, but all five of us heard the same sound. Following this, my mom had many issues where she would feel someone following her up the stairs. My brother and I also felt this when coming home late at night with a friend. The main event would happen, however, when I would be asleep in my room, in bunk beds. I would wake in the night and see a black space that would go from the floor to the ceiling in the opposite corner of my room. It was complete black, and I always felt like something was watching me. I used to sleep with the door open after seeing it a few times, terrified of what it could be. Even with the door open and the landing light on, this black mass would not shift or move or lighten up. It couldn't have been a shadow. I have no large furniture or dressing gowns hanging by the door. One night I woke up to something heavy on the end of the bed. Thinking it was my mom or dad coming to say goodnight, I sat up and opened my eyes to give them a hug. When I opened my eyes, I couldn't see a thing. It was pitch black. I panicked, thinking my parents had shut my door, but it was wide open. The black mass had moved from the corner and was now on my bed. I panicked, as any child would, and hid under the covers. I screamed for my parents, and when they came, nothing was there. The weight had lifted. I refused to sleep in that room again, and I consequently moved rooms. I still to this day will sleep on the sofa when I go home if my room is being used by a guest. Many other things happened in that room. Our kitchen table was directly beneath, and we would hear my bedroom chair scraping along the floor while eating dinner or things falling from a great height. My dad would often come in and tell me to stop jumping around to find me quietly reading or playing on my computer. Years later, my brother said, when he moved into the room, he saw the same figure, but it never tried to make contact like it did with me. He also experienced intense sleep paralysis in that room, too. He hasn't had it since. Who knows what it was, but it remained until I was around 18. My dad, a skeptic, said that we saw things because we were young. My mom, who's a believer, researched and found it interesting. I was going through puberty, and she had menopause. We've heard ghosts are attached, sometimes attach themselves to homes when women are going through changes, let's just say. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Great podcast. I love the show. Please keep it up. You make my work so much more enjoyable. I hope you like my story.
I think the fact that one's going through menopause at the same time one's going through puberty is enough right there to cause all kinds of things to get out of whack. But most of the time, that's poltergeist type activity. Mm-hmm. This sounds different than that.
It does. And I wonder if it's just something that's feeding off of all the emotions that are going on, or this is something that really would be there regardless.
Well, and it seems to be confined to one room.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but certain spirits, they're like locked up. It's like they're permanently grounded.
They are. It's a difficult one to diagnose, mm-hmm. if you will. But thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Gavin says, hi, guys. Love your show. Been listening to it for over a month now, and I found it online. Perfect listening for the way to and from work, although I believe in the paranormal and love the stories. I am scientifically minded and always explore the facts before jumping to the conclusion that an experience is paranormal. The story I'm about to relate, however, is something that still unnerves me greatly and bothers me to this day. I just can't explain it, so maybe you could shed some light on this to put my mind at ease. It happened when my brother and I were children, myself around 8 and my younger brother 5 years old. We lived alone and with our single mother, and I believe there was an argument or something one evening. I remember her being angry and walking downstairs to cool off. After a moment, my brother and myself followed. Our house wasn't the biggest, so after walking through it several times, we realized we just couldn't find her. She was not in the house. We didn't hear the front door opening or closing at all. It was as if she walked downstairs and disappeared. We called her name again and again, but eventually gave up. The strangest thing was the fact that the back and front doors were still locked from the inside. We made our way to the front door again. Now, right next to this front door was our stairs, and thus a small gap underneath for storage. Also, enough for a few kids to hide. I'm not too good at describing the layout, but the gap under the stairs was facing the door, which was where my brother and myself decided to crouch for a while. It was almost like a safe place, we felt. I'd just like to stress that we could see the front door and anyone who would go through it. After a minute, we heard the strangest thing outside of our house, so loud that the sound penetrated right through that front door into our little ears. It was a sound of our mother screaming while running down the street. We could hear every thump of her footsteps and knew her voice. It was definitely her. Confused and scared, we went to the front door, opened it, and peered out at the dark street, hoping to see her. The street lamps illuminated the whole stretch of road enough to see up and down it, but we saw neither our mother nor anyone at all. Closing and locking the door again, we decided to walk around the house again, went to the living room, and found our mother just sitting there. Calmly, I remember my heart quickening and this creepy feeling of unease crawling under my skin. After a moment, I shakily asked where she was. She turned to me calmly and said, "I've been here the whole time." I mentioned what we heard, the screaming down the street, her disappearance, etc., but through that, her face was calm and relaxed, as if this wasn't weird at all. Now, as an adult, I'm also curious why she wasn't concerned that her kids opened the front door at night by themselves. Myself and my brother are adults now, but whenever we recall that night, the conversation always dries up and dries off. We cannot explain it at all. It still gives me the creeps to this day. Thanks for taking the time to read this and keep up the amazing work. I'll keep listening daily. Gavin.
So was it something else pretending to be the mom, or was it like a doppelganger?
Why would you go? Why would you think it was not the mom, I should ask?
Well, if it seemed like the mom's behavior did not fit what the mom normally would do,
mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder if maybe something else was there instead of her.
And why? What's its purpose?
I don't know what its purpose is.
I'm just asking. I don't know. You have if you have like an inkling as to why it's...
No.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of times with these sort of things, if... You know, it's like the smell test. It's if it doesn't smell or feel like it should,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like it should, there's probably something off.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not quite right about it. Difficult to know why without more information, but I would venture to go with probably not who you think it is. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our number. Tony writes in, hey guys, just started listening to your podcast about 3 weeks ago while I was driving from Georgia to Texas. I'm fascinated with the paranormal and find any and every excuse to read about it. And I was so excited when I stumbled across your podcast on Spotify. My story is really three experiences I've had while at college, and all three happened after some of my friends messed with a Ouija board one night in our dorm back lobby. And I stopped to watch for a bit before I changed out of my work clothes. It was about 3 weeks after that night, and I was coming home from work again, and as I was walking towards the stairs, I looked to my left and saw the reflection of a girl and could see she was standing in front of the elevator, but could not see the elevator because I hadn't yet turned the corner. The girl slowly looked at the window like I did, but it felt like she was looking at me, but I didn't know she wasn't because she couldn't see me. She looked back ahead at the elevator door. All this happened in a matter of seconds, but it was slowed down as it happened. When I finally turned the corner and looked down at the hallway, the girl was gone. The elevator door never opened, and there was nowhere else for the girl to go. I stopped and stood for a second before kind of grinning to myself and walking up the stairs to my room. The second experience I had was coming back from the gym. I was passing through the back lobby on my left. And the foosball table is by the wall. I saw a guy in yellow leaning against the wall, and when he was looking at me walking past, he slid down the wall to sit on the floor behind the foosball table. I was curious. As I was walking, I leaned forward to see if I knew who the guy was, but there was no guy on the floor. I thought to myself, well, that's odd, then kept walking to go to my room. The most recent experience I had was walking through the graveyard right next to my dorm with some friends because it's quicker than walking through the campus. It was nighttime and the gates were going to be locking soon, so we had to hurry through. My friends were talking with themselves, not really looking around, and I had been looking straight ahead. And I saw a man in a suit. I'm 5'3", and this guy looked to be about 6'5", and he was about 50 feet away from me. His limbs were really long, and the steps he was taking were huge. It seemed like he was bouncing on the balls of his feet as he was walking, but at the same time, like he was floating because of how quickly he crossed the street into the woods beside him. I ran ahead to see where he went, but there was a tall fence and a few inches inside the leaves. He disappeared. My friends freaked out when I told them, and they didn't really believe me, but I smiled to myself because I found it exciting. Hope you enjoy my three experiences. I hope you share them on your podcast. I'll share a few other stories I have some time. I hope to eventually become an EPP, maybe a birthday present to myself. Ha ha.
It makes you wonder if these people choose to let you see them and then they choose to not to.
Mm-hmm.
Or why that is. Because it's not like you can tell that they're actually ghosts when you see them until they're gone mysteriously.
I'm going to go with this person sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and is picking up on things that maybe others are not. As to, you know, why you're seeing them, I think sometimes maybe they don't want to be seen, almost judging by the guy by the foosball table that just kind of slunk down.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, you're just, they're there, and they're not really choosing for you to see them, but you're seeing them because they're out there interacting in their own world, and you get the privilege of being part of that.
It's almost like when they realize you can see them, then they don't want you to see them because it's like their, you know, their disguise is up, or they sure. can't do what they were normally going to do, the ghostly things or whatever.
Yeah, it makes you wonder about exactly why they wouldn't want you to see them. But maybe it's something we won't really understand for quite some time. But nonetheless, you're in a fairly haunted area, it sounds like, and you can see things others can't. So thanks for sharing the experience with us. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's program. There you go.
There you go.
If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an APP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. And you get all those bonus episodes. Get exclusive video content and the satisfaction of knowing you're part of this thing and helping to keep it alive. $5 a month is all it is to sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.